This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. I'm not going to do the intro, Seb, because we've got to start off hot. Seb, do you like golf?
No.
Not Dave, why am I sat here at 9:15 in the morning recording this podcast?
Yeah, all right. It's the final round of the Masters this evening, isn't it? Probably the greatest golf tournament in the world, or probably the Open is, but the Masters is close behind. So, I take full responsibility for that. Thank you and Seb for your understanding and patience with it all.
We're neither understanding nor patient about
it. I know you're not.
This has actually been quite funny, Dave, because I know nothing about golf, but through the years of the podcast, I can always remember this weekend. It's, Ben, you know, I need to be out of here pretty soon.
It's still up there. You know, you have like the honorary starters. So it was Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. They don't play in it, obviously. They're in their 80s, but hit the first shots on Thursday morning. It's just,
and they still hit the ball at 80.
They bloody well can. Gary Player is just absolutely incredible. I think Gary Player at like 82 still does something like 1,000 sit-ups a day or something. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So,
you know, Mick Jagger runs 8 miles per day or something ridiculous.
What it is, for a golfer, and there are one or two golfers in the pod, like myself, Mike, well, I don't class himself as a golfer, but like golf, myself, Mikey, Rich, Joe, I think to a degree. It is the start of the golf season, really.
So, nice. Yeah. We humour them. So, but it's just you and me that don't watch it, isn't it?
I think so. I think we're the odd ones out, aren't we? I mean, when Dave was talking there, all I could think of was the Alan Partridge shug, because I've got no idea what he's talking about, and I have no idea, but smile and nod along, and yeah.
They're our friends, Seb. Let them enjoy their golf. Quite old week then, guys, I guess. Just big thumbs up to the pod team, obviously.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, super.
Things broke, and as you can imagine, we try our best to be across it. I think we'd been ahead of this takeover reasonably well, and then it was just a case of, right, who's not at work? Can we get live, Dave?
Can I give a shout out for Joe's wonderful bib as well? I think that needs to be mentioned, doesn't it?
The bib's iconic, isn't
it? It is now.
And I thought the way he framed the picture of the bib hanging over the chair, that was a nice one. And then Richard has followed up with the interview with Nick Ames from The Guardian, which has been, actually, Richard's done two excellent interviews. It's great to get the journalist takes, because, Seb, as much as we try and be balanced, it's hard to get out of the bubble sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. It's always nice to hear outside influences. And what I always love is, you know, both Nick and Jim White, they always say how respected Ipswich is, you know, how loved Ipswich is. And it's absolutely great to hear. Obviously, we're all biased. We're fans from young, and we watch week in, week out. But when you hear these exterior guys saying what a great club it is, you know, the attraction of it, it makes you feel so much better, doesn't it?
So you will notice the only two people we haven't heard on the takeover are sat in front of me. Well, not in front of me, but on my screen. So, Dave, can you, I think you can give a bit of a different angle because you've got such a broad knowledge going back such a long time. Talk to me about this day in terms of the actual history of the club, big picture.
Well, it's seismic, really, for the club, isn't it? I mean, I don't go back. There's still as far as some, but well, I suppose I do because it's always it was the Cobbold dynasty, wasn't it? It was.
As soon as you say that, I think about GB on the Naked Football Show. Someone who goes back further than you.
Yeah. There is someone actually. I'm sure there's somebody out there even older than GB. I'm sure, but I mean, yeah, I'm sure there are. But yeah, it was the Cobbold dynasty, and then. Obviously, John Cobbold passed away early 80s, and then Patrick, his brother, who took over early 90s, and then obviously we have the David Sheepshanks era with still some Cobbold involvement on the board. I think Philip Hope Cobbold was still involved on the board. Then clearly needed new investment, and a new owner came along in Marcus Evans in 2007. And clearly, look, it just for one reason or another, and it's been well documented over the past few days, and certainly, I heard Rich talking about it on Radio Suffolk, and you guys have debated it. For one reason or another, it just didn't really work. So the club was, really screaming out for new investment, new owners, and I suppose the story initially broke. Month ago, would it have been? It was pre-Cook being appointed, I think. Certainly, well, we'll get to that. Certainly was. So the story originally broke about a month ago. And I think we all said at the time, and then it took a bit of
Dave was keeping quiet then, Seb, wasn't he?
I was keeping quiet then. I wasn't gonna. Yeah,
he didn't even go in our own WhatsApp group either, did he? Dave.
No. And then. It called off, 2 weeks ago it called off? I mean, obviously then during the time, Cook was appointed, and we think, okay, this is all part of the bigger plan. And then it seemed to have taken a bit of a dive. 2 weeks ago was it? Just before
Easter? Taking a dive.
And then again, there was much speculation, I think, over last weekend that, yep, you see a few tweets coming out and one or two things on social media that, yes, it's going to happen this weekend. Sure enough, it was announced Wednesday morning. Not to 99.9% of everybody's surprise, but perhaps one or two internally within the club surprise. It's a surprise. much needed. Look, you've heard the guys particularly interested to hear, to see and hear Michael O'Leary's initial interview, which he came across, I thought, very well. Clearly respects the traditions of the club, understands the traditions of the club. So, exciting times ahead, I think.
Seb, we can put a little bit more meat on the bone here, Seb, because when we did the first shows, as Dave just mentioned, and impressed by the level of openness, Seb, because Absolutely. We had a full 60 minutes from Mike O'Leary and Brett Johnson. Just take me through your reactions from it happening, and then put a little bit of extra meat on that chicken bone as you've gone through the next couple of days.
Well, obviously, just the excitement, like everybody when the news broke. I was sat in work all day. I was single manning in my office, and I was just constantly pressing refresh and wanting to ignore everything coming in so I could follow it and watch the live stream, etc. So excitement is obviously the number one feeling when it broke. And then the more you would hear from them all, I'm very impressed with what O'Leary said, and then the hour-long press conference at nighttime. We've probably heard more from these two new guys in the space of an hour than we did in the first 10 years of Evans, 11 years of Evans. So it's just, it's so exciting, potentially, what could happen now. I understand, obviously, things are going to be difficult in terms of the short term. I guess they've probably written this season off and will look to really, really build next year and move up the leagues, hopefully, quite quickly. But overall, just really, really excited. And hopefully for the younger fans, it's a chance to really see something. Dave's obviously been through the two cup finals. You and me obviously have sat through the Burley years and watched us in the Premier League and stuff. But there is now a whole generation of Ipswich Town fans that was really, really starting to slip away, I think, with Norwich up the road, going back up, and West Ham doing well. There was a real chance we would start to lose some of our our local younger fan base. And now, hopefully, with these guys at the helm, we'll start to see some good times coming back to Portman Road. And what really excites me as well is their track record of... I know that the three Lions have a really small stake in it, but their track record of what they've done with other clubs is really exciting. This isn't just a normal businessman coming in. Marcus Evans was a ticket merchant, etc. This is somebody who's got a proven track record of improving clubs. And if they can do half the things they've done with Phoenix and with Helsingør they do over here, then I think we're in for a really, really exciting few years, hopefully.
Dave, you're kind of uniquely poised out of all of us. You won't mind us saying you talk to these type of people for your work, don't you? Executives and directors and things that are they all that good at talking? Very convincing people,
no.
Aren't they?
No, really? I'd probably say not. No, I wouldn't say I really talk to that many people at that high level for goodness
sake. Right, okay.
But no, I mean, I agree with Seb. I mean, what was really refreshing was just the general openness, particularly from Brett Johnson and Michael O'Leary. Their openness was fantastic. And as Seb quite rightly said, you know, that's more than we got from Evans for all of his tenure. And then when you did get it from Evans during his tenure, clearly it was, as we all know, it was quite heavily scripted. So, look, you know, you
don't
can't
get me on that blooming flip chart again.
No, I know.
Negative comments against me on Twitter on that one.
But so far, so good. Obviously, the next step now is the appointment of a CEO. I mean, it's all thought to be the guy from, I think, Mark Ashton from Bristol City is what is heavy speculation at that. That I don't think has been confirmed yet. So that's the next step. But yeah, hopefully exciting times. And again, as Seb said, you know, I often refer to my youngest, Kieran, who he's, what, 22. So, he's known one half-decent season, which is the 14-15 playoff season. So, yeah, exciting times ahead for people like that. Because, you know, I use him as a prime example. You know, he's as mad keen as I am and his older brother is. But he was just beginning to lose interest as well. So, yeah, hopefully this will rekindle that and similar interest from others.
Right, Seb, where are we with the cull? Because we heard who were the players who weren't going to be offered contracts. It was Barry Cotter and...
Yeah, Cotter was paid up, wasn't he? And then since then,
But there was one more before this latest four, wasn't there? I'm trying to remember because we spoke about it on the pod.
There's six now.
Yeah, and there were rumours of Dylan Crowe, but that's not been confirmed by the club.
That's right. Yeah.
That was on social media saying he'd been paid off, but that's not been confirmed yet.
So what's the latest this week, Seb? Lots of goalkeepers going out from discussions before we hit the red button.
Yeah, so obviously the two keepers have moved on. Schibek and Wright have been released, and then we've looked at the two Browns and Virrell was the other one. Falami as well, who's spent the year down in Australia. They've all now been released, obviously. So the clear out has started. I guess we might probably, now the takeover is done, potentially see a couple of the first teamers maybe in the next few weeks, just before the end of the season, start to get the ones that aren't going to be the ones that aren't going to be kept on might start to get paid off early, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a wait and see. The clear out has clearly started. You know, Joe said on this pod before, Kieran Dyer wants, is it 10 players, 10, 11 players next year? And we've got such a bloated squad. And there's a lot in that category of sort of early 20s who we tend to give a year to see if they'll make it the next year.
And another one.
That mentality, I guess, is now kind of, you know, that's the end of that kind of era. I guess they're going to be a little bit more ruthless now. We're going to look to really trim things down and focus on a core of the squad.
DD?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit surprised, I think, that Pischbeck may be the keeper. I mean, that perhaps indicates to me that, you know, they're happy with, obviously, Cornell and Holy. Perhaps a bit surprised at that. Not too surprised at the heavily tattooed Harry Wright. I can't say I've seen much of Kai Brown. Obviously, Ben Falami had that little run in the first team. Scored, did he, against Millwall? Was that no good? Looked quite good. Then again, unfortunate injury. So he's obviously spent time back in Australia. The one that does surprise me, I've only seen him a couple of times, and Joe is much more authority than me, is Zach Brown. I saw him play a couple of times, and he is lightning quick. Absolutely lightning quick and quite physical too, from what I saw. I really liked him, but again, maybe I haven't seen him for what, 18 months, so maybe he just hasn't kicked on from there. So I really can't say much about the French lad, but yeah, you know, always unfortunate. But as Seb quite rightly said, you know, the squad is massive, so yeah, there'll be more of this in the coming weeks, no doubt.
Quite a good segue there, Dave. It's not next on my running order, but the under 18, speaking of under 18s and youngsters coming through. So this is the FA Youth Cup quarterfinals and a 1-0 win yesterday over Middlesbrough. And I think we'd all throw our hands up and defer to Joe on this, and we'll get him to speak about it next time he's on. He's not going to be on Tuesday either, so you might have to wait for Joe's views.
Oh, hey, I mean, by the time he speaks, he might be through the semi final because I think
might have won it.
Yeah, the quarters next Saturday. Absolutely, yeah, brilliant for the kids. I mean, it is, you know, the FA Youth Cup is still the blue riband, you know, a tournament for, you know, kids of that age. And just fantastic, because I think Borough, although they played it away from the Riverside and not even at their training ground, I think they played some obscure Bishop Auckland or somewhere like that. I think they're category one, so, you know, another sort of feather on our cap there. And didn't see much of it, but what we did see was the goal, and the goal celebration's absolutely fantastic. I think it was Albie Armin scored the goal, good turn goal. Great celebration, you know, you see the keeper running forward, and a really nice tweet from his father.
Yeah, Mikey, his father, said I don't that know if you saw earlier. That morning, was brilliant,
absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Sort of saying, oh, you're almost, you know, walking on air this morning, you know, what a day for the lad. Absolutely fantastic. You know, we've got a great sort of history, you know, won it twice in the 70s, won it back in, what, 2005. So absolutely superb. And yeah, looking at the teams left in, I didn't really look at any of the other results yesterday, if they had games were played yesterday, but there was a likes of Man City still there, Chelsea, Spurs, I think West Ham was still there, I believe. So big clubs with big academies there. So what an achievement. And we've got Sheffield United at home. So you'd think a great opportunity. I mean, even to get to the quarters is a fantastic opportunity, fantastic achievement. But to get through next Saturday, next weekend to the semi-finals, absolutely brilliant. And again, that just generally gives the club a lift. You know, there's something to point to there, isn't it? Brilliant.
Absolutely, yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. So congratulations to the under-18s. Seb, Luke Thomas, this has been a weird one, hasn't it? Because here comes clanger name drop. I was actually able to ask Valerian Ismail in a press conference about Luke Thomas, and his body language changed a little bit as soon as I mentioned his name.
Yeah, a bit prickly, did he?
He got a bit prickly, yeah. And he's a very big, scary man, if you've ever seen him on the TV.
What a man, though. My God, what a
what
man.
Manager as well, yeah. Heck. Deary me. So Luke Thomas came in, Seb, and, you know, with possibly a certain reputation as having been a bit difficult at Barnsley. And I tried to big him up, saying I'd, you know, seen him do bits and bobs. And then he sort of disappeared, you know, just wasn't in the team, wasn't anywhere. So we've heard from Luke Thomas on social media. I'll paraphrase. For my mental and physical health, I need to take a few weeks away from the game that I love. So I don't know what's happened there. Obviously, if it's a struggle, we extend our sort of sympathy and our best wishes. But what a interesting, slightly odd loan spell from Luke Thomas, Seven. I suspect we've seen the last of him.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, he was tracked in the media a good few weeks before he joined, and then he came in, and wasn't there a bit of a to and fro between him and the Barnsley manager, where he said, "I just want to go out and play football," and that might be why you got that frosty answer from the Barnsley guy. He didn't really do anything, if we're being honest, on the pitch. You know, he started a few games, but I think what we were after was an out and out attacking winger. You know, maybe cutting inside, playing on the wrong side, like an inverted inside forward or inverted winger, and we wanted to add some goals and creativity, like Leo Neal said, but he never really got going, and then he completely disappeared from the squad. And there were a few things on Twitter and a few things on TWTD saying he's no longer at the club. Obviously, you can't terminate a loan without it being a transfer window. So it all went very, very quiet, and then this statement came out. So we won't see him again. Like you said, we wish him all the best. I guess he needs to take a break for himself, and hopefully he'll come back at the summer back to Barnsley and look to start afresh, and hopefully the break will do him some good. So we extend him our sympathies, but from a loan point of view, it was a very strange one and a bit of a waste, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
I'm going to do a wrestling reference, Dave, because it's WrestleMania tonight, and Shawn Michaels once dropped the belt And
you're going to be
this...
watching WrestleMania instead of the Masters, aren't you?
That's the real reason we're doing this now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You've thrown Dave under the bus, and you're
bloody exactly. I know it's always the same.
That's tremendous. I like that.
Exactly.
Shawn Michaels, who you've probably heard of, you two. He dropped the belt, and he did this emotional thing. I've lost my smile. I need to go away and find my smile. So we hope Luke Thomas goes away and finds his smile and comes back stronger. Although. Probably not at Barnsley from what we're ascertaining. We may see him in League One or possibly, I think, Championship club.
Barnsley nailed on
never pop
Premier next year, aren't they? My God.
No, I think Bournemouth might have something to say about that with the way the league is trending at the moment. But
yeah, true.
There we go. Dave, I don't suppose you'll have much to say on this, but the season ticket, this is the final news. Notice we're stringing out the news today. I wonder why.
just as well that event happened this week. Christ.
So Dave, Pat, you see on YouTube now, you can see the secret signals we give Dave when we want him to go 5 minutes on something now. But I don't suppose you'll have much to say. The season ticket decisions have been delayed. That's a big, you know, potential chunk of money.
Yeah, huge.
That is, you know, very important. And I suppose it's going to kind of set the tone for, we hear a lot from, particularly from Brett Johnson, about community and all this type of thing. I suppose this is, you know, the first chance to perhaps back up if they can do something good for children, season tickets, you know.
Absolutely. Something was required. I mean, okay, you know, when the takeover was announced, you assume that's more to do with the tax year more than anything else. But yeah, you know, this should, you'd think, give some impetus, because good grief, let's face it, impetus was needed in potential season ticket sales. I mean, obviously, results on the pitch would help to an even greater extent, and some goals would help to an even greater extent. But yeah, you know, the takeover should have some sort of positive effect. At least for Christ's sake, there's something for them to write about on the season ticket renewals now, for goodness sake, because how they would have spun that prior to this. God,
I've got
know.
An idea, Dave. Hashtag a new era.
Do you know what? You might be onto something there. You know, that simple sounds, is best. Simple is best.
That sounds but, curious,
yeah, they need to, they needed to certainly hang on to something. So yeah, we'll see. I haven't read too much about it. Is it going to be this week, next week? I haven't really heard too much, read too much about it, to be fair.
I guess they've got to make some decisions pretty quickly. And I mean, we've said it a million times on the pod, this opportunity, the stadium is half empty, two-thirds empty some of the times. It does feel somewhat of a white elephant, doesn't it? You know, these two huge stands behind the goal that were built for another time and another situation that we're not in at the moment. And can you get the kids in, for goodness sake? Let them in for free with their parents and, you know, and really get those OAP tickets, you know, get them cheap, get them down, not increase the price and whatnot. But let's see what they do. It's always
I've written an opportunity there. I've written quite a direct email to the club with regard to concessions for over 58. So, yeah, we'll see what they come back with.
That is niche.
We'll see what they come back with. Yeah, well, yeah, actually, no, sorry, over 50. Sorry, what are we talking about? Over 59. Yeah, 58. Over 59 by the new season. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
dear,
hopefully we'll
tremendous.
See more and more of these kind of offers, because didn't Brett Johnson do £1 beers at Phoenix Rise and that kind of stuff?
So, hopefully
we'll see, you know, these kind
of offers. £1 pies, but then, you know, with a couple more pie outlets, because £1 pie, imagine a queue for £1 pie, you'd miss like half a second off.
Now,
and you still can't pay on card.
And you still
can't. Stay there, I have a segue, because you know what I'd like to see? You know what I'd like to see, Seb? Everyone wants to hear what I'd like to see in the concourse. A favorite chicken stand. That would do for me. Set it up and favorite chicken could be inside the stadium. Now, I may or may not have told you the correct address for this last time. You can go via favoritechicken.co.uk to get your Blue Monday offer here. Remember, It's an American favourite, but we're okay with the American spellings of things now. So leave the U out. However, there is a specific URL to get to the Ipswich store, which is chicken-ipswich.co.uk. Why would you go there? Why would you go there? Because if you're a Blue Monday listener, you can get yourself a nice, juicy 20% discount on your favourite chicken order. For it's a delivery-only store in Ipswich. So go through the website at chicken-ipswich.co.uk. And when you go and check out, BM20 is the discount code. You can also go through favouritechicken.co.uk, but you must go down the store finder. We haven't had to do any of this, Dave, because they've been nice enough to just send us some chicken, haven't they?
But I mean, you need to go take that down. I'm licking my lips now, just looking at it. You got to take it down. I'm salivating.
At 9:37 in the morning.
Yeah,
Nice favourite chicken for breakfast, yeah. So store finder, store locator, and you must go to the Ipswich one, which will then redirect you. Dave and I have been lucky to have this lovely food, and they fed our families as well.
Really? Yeah.
Seb, you're up in the Northwest. Are you excited to come to Ipswich and get your favourite chicken and use your Blue Monday BM20 discount code?
I am, absolutely. I mean, the closest one to me, I think, is Wolverhampton, but obviously I won't get the discount code there. So the next time I'm back home, I will certainly be paying a visit via the online store and getting some delivered. I think it's worth pointing out as well that since these guys have started sponsoring the pod, one of the Blue Monday team has moved back to Ipswich. Now, that may be a complete coincidence, but like me, his closest one was Wolverhampton, and he is now, as of yesterday, a resident back in Suffolk. So I think for his housewarming party, it'll be favourite chicken all round, won't it?
You're right, well, there, Seb. He assured me it's nothing to do with relocating to watch Ipswich Town. It's purely a relocation based on the chicken outlet.
He never moved for the last few years, did he? It was only when these guys came around and he made the decision. So
yeah.
I think a massive platter at his housewarming party will be just the ticket.
Absolutely.
That's tremendous. And Dave, you and the boys had a nice old banquet, didn't you?
Pretty much that. What's on screen there? No, it was absolutely excellent. Yeah, a couple of Sundays ago, so that was very, very well received. Yeah, Ben, I can't believe you haven't composed a chicken song, or even a chicken. I'm sure there's one there somewhere.
That sounds good to me. Yeah. Oh, Lee.
Sorry, listeners. Sorry, subscribers. What have I just done?
Leave that with me. I'll work on that. So one more time, specifically for the Ipswich store, chicken-ipswich.co.uk, BM20 as your discount code. There are sponsors until the end of the season. We'd love you to, when you're watching the Euros and watching England, are we going to be allowed to have people over to watch these games? I think we might be able to at this point.
Possibly middle of May, yeah. Reckon.
Yeah, get your chicken in your favorite chicken, BM20, at the checkout. Right. Are you ready to talk about another 0-0 draw? how many nil-nils is it now?
Oh, God, far too many. I mean, three of the last five alone are 0-0, aren't they? So all I can say is it's not a live stream. At least we've got more we can talk about in this kind of thing. Sometimes when it's me and Rich doing a live stream after a 0-0, we really struggle.
You're really stringing it out, aren't you?
Yeah, at least there's an extra person here and we can hopefully get through it quite quickly.
Well, it's just unfortunate because me and Ben are doing Tuesday after the 4-4 away draw at Wimbledon. So we'll get to bed about midnight.
Jordan Spence making an amazing return to head the winner in the last seconds. Go. Oh, yeah. That Millwall game. It's one of the best games. Yeah, brilliant that was. Absolute carnage. This wasn't. So we'd hyped up MK as the statistical darlings of the division and lots of drone footage of their beautiful training sessions pinging the ball about, and then Joe said, yeah, but they don't score any goals, do they? and they didn't score any goals this weekend. So it was Ipswich 0, MK Dons 0, under the stewardship of a former foe in ex-Norwich right-back, Russ Martin. Can I do another name drop?
Go.
Russ Martin, who I met. This is a great Blue Monday name drop. Who I met in a Wagamama outside the Milton Keynes Stadium. I went to see... No, do you know, I didn't even think I... Did I go to a game? I might have gone shopping with Shaley because there's a big H&M. So I can't remember. I think I might have gone to see Milton Keynes versus AFC Wimbledon. I don't remember yesterday.
For goodness sake.
Anyway, and I met Russ Martin in the Wagamama outside the stadium, which is the closest Wagamama to any stadium, surely, in world football. Unless they've put a Wagamama inside Wembley Stadium, which wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility.
There's a lot of product placement here.
Is there? Yeah. We don't have a discount code for Wagamama. I should probably stop mentioning rival food.
You mentioned like five times in the last minute.
Deary me. Move on, as Dave classically says. Right, here is your 11 for Ipswich. Holly in goal, Wolfenden, Ansiala, Chambers, Ward and Edwards, wide wingbacks, call them what you like. Dizel, Downs, Bishop, Drinan and Dobra. Dave, your thoughts on that 11?
Wagamama. my thoughts on that 11. Well, it's certainly different, wasn't it? I mean, good to see. I mean, two things here. First of all, brilliant to see, and we'll get onto that a little bit later. Brilliant to see Tristan Nyden back in the squad and on the bench. Absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Obviously, Jackson out. I personally didn't watch the Rochdale game, but yeah, apparently he made little or no, as our other forwards, he made little or no impact there, so he was completely out of the squad. And obviously Drinan in with Amando Dobra just playing slightly behind him. Yeah, a bit of a departure, but you look at it. Oh, and the other big thing, Flynn Downs coming back in the centre midfield. So yeah, you know, on the face of it, okay, it's another throw of the dice and a plan DE or whatever it is. yeah, I mean, I didn't necessarily have a problem with that. He's got to look at these players and he's got to find something that works and converts into goals. Unfortunately,
Seb, do you reckon we can get to plan what M?
Well, we've still got was it 8 games to go? So if we change it to all times in game, there's no reason why we can't push past the alphabet and start with A1, A2, whatever. I think it's interesting on there as well. I didn't see it as a 3-5-2 when it kicked off. It seemed to almost be a 4-4-1-1.
Yeah, he was playing behind him.
Yeah, Dobra was in behind Drinan, and sort of Dizel seemed to be kind of out slightly to the left. So I guess we might see a few of these kind of more experimental lineups for the remainder of the season if the playoffs do ever go out of reach, because bizarrely at the moment they're still not. But if they do ever go out of reach, then we might, I guess he's got to see these guys to start making decisions pretty quickly with the contract situation looming.
Yeah.
Just to protect myself from pedantic comments, which will inevitably come, I read that off SofaScore. If you have any issues with SofaScore's perception of Ipswich's shape yesterday, you can contact them at sofascore.com and please leave me out of it.
If anyone can decipher the shape, but yeah.
Well, there you go. There is the MK team, Fisher, the legend, Lewington. I want a Lewington and Coppinger. 1,400 games between them, or 1,500? Incredible. Yeah. Darling, Jules, Harvey, Laird, O'Reilly, Sirman, McEachran, Fraser, and Grigg up top. Will Grigg's on fire. Your defence is terrified. Dave, what happened in the first half?
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, Will Grigg's on fire. Will Grigg's been heavily linked, hasn't he, this week?
Which of course is he
on,
has,
the,
yeah.
On the face of that yesterday, I fairly got open mind about. Take on the first half. Yeah, as we thought, MK, and as Joe said, MK played lovely, tried to play lovely, pretty football, which is good and quite easy on the eye, but don't think they had a cutting edge at all. And I can remember us creating one pretty decent chance where Downs wins the ball as he's run up really well, sort of fairly central in their half, and Edwards got free for once, and a good ball, and Dobra, he should score, shouldn't he, I suppose? He's lunging a bit, sort of comes in from about 6 yards, gets his toe to the ball, and it just goes the wrong side of the post into the side netting, doesn't it? That was the chance of the first half, really. Other than that, pretty nondescript. I don't think I've missed much out, really, other than that. Yeah, we huffed again. We sort of huffed and puffed. Dizel, don't start me. You know, a couple of corners floated into the keeper's arms, which Mills was saying, oh, yeah, they weren't bad, you know, with pace on. But, well, no, Mick, you know, they're too strong. Yes, they might go in if the goalkeeper completely misses them, but they're right, you know, he catches them at the far post. So, yeah, just fairly nondescript, as a lot of our sort of halves of first halves of football have been most of the season, really.
Sorry to jump in. The only thing about the Dobra chance, I know he missed it, but I was encouraged the fact he got there, if that makes sense. How many times have we seen in the last few weeks, if Drinnen holds the ball up in the channel, there is nobody in the box, you know, the midfielders aren't making those runs. So I know he should have scored. He should have done better, but at least he was there. He's got that natural attacking instinct, hasn't he? Which hasn't been coached out of him playing.
Yeah, he's not a natural goal scorer, a natural striker. And, you know, I thought he had a half decent game. You know, he worked hard and he's always neat and tidy, isn't he? And you're right. I wasn't being overcritical for missing. He should score, but he's sort of on the lunge. He gets there. He's on the lunge, isn't he? You know, a bit unlucky, I suppose you'd say, really. Yeah, but
it's typical. It was the first time Edwards put a decent ball in, I think, all game. That was his one good delivery, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah.
I think we'll move on to the second half then. I think you guys are, I think you guys have covered that. In come Naidam for his return. Sears, Judge,
ready.
Parrot. Hawkins, take me through the second half. Do you want to go first, Seb? Double save from Holly, wasn't there? I thought
good double save, yeah, and the free kick as well. He tipped it around the post, didn't he?
That's a really clever free kick, actually. That wasn't it. There you go. That was Sir Man, wasn't it? They can even over Finbow. They can even overplay a free kick and get stop.
That was a great save. When I think Rich made the great comment, he said, yeah, good save. Sort of like Holy dives and makes a save, sort of klaxon. Yeah, it was a hell of a save, actually.
It was, and they looked more like to score, didn't they? With the double save and the free kick, you know, at that point, they were the ones kind of knocking on the door, and we still had absolutely nothing about us up front. I think the EADD gave him man of the match yesterday, I think, Holy.
I think he deserves that. Yeah, I saw Andy Warren's post-match ratings, Seb, and he had, I think he had Holy as his man of the match as well. Any hint that we were going to score in the second half, Seb?
I didn't think so. I mean, he changed things up, didn't he? We saw Parrott come in and Judge, and I think we went to a 4-2-3-1, it looked like, with sort of Edwards on the right, Judge in the number 10, and somebody on the left. I've lost track of who came on and who went off.
Hang on a minute. But now, that is plan A, isn't it?
That is plan A,
so we've gone
A,
back from ED all the way back to A. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
I think Sears sort of went on the left, but then 5 minutes later, he'd be up front with Drinnen, so it was a bit of a mismatch of formations, but nothing really looked like happening, no matter who the personnel were, no matter how the formation changed. I didn't think anything like happening apart from the Sears chance, which I guess we'll discuss in a minute.
Yeah, I think
now,
what was interesting, he pulled off the central midfield too, didn't he? So Dizel and Bishop got pulled off, and then good to see Naidam, and Naidam and Judge came on, and we showed a little bit more. Yeah, Naidam was a bit neat and tidy, was it? I think he offers you a bit more. I think Dizel just needs, I know he's played pretty much every game, as it's seven games to go. Wouldn't be surprised if He didn't start on Tuesday.
If Cook wants to play 4-2-3-1, then probably Downs and Niedem are a better two, aren't they? Because you've got the box to box, the energy, and the kind of tenacity amongst them, rather than, I guess, Dizel and Bishop.
Totally agree. And Bishop really didn't show yesterday. You know, again, what you're looking for is Bishop is getting that ball, you know, committing defenders, driving on. He just didn't see. I mean, maybe just didn't have the opportunity yesterday. But, I mean, I think looking at the stats, incredible. You think we only had, I think we only had 34% possession yesterday. You know, you didn't see any of that from
Zero
Bishop.
Zero shots on target, Dave.
My son informs me that's now 200. So from 10 minutes into the second half of what would have been a Bristol Rovers game two or three games ago, we haven't had a shot on target for 215 minutes, apparently.
Shocking, isn't it? Shocking. There was that one in the second half, wasn't there? Sears took the touch and should have got the shot off earlier, but obviously didn't. And then he's got the one where he kind of chips it wide.
That one was a chance.
That one for me was the chance of the game. More so, I think, than the Dobra one. Because of Sears' experience and being a striker and where he was, you know, that was the one for me he should have done.
Sears is weird, isn't it? So Sears came on, you think, you know, meh, okay. Apart, you know, when he has come on, bless, you know, all love him, you know, hard working, but you know, just hasn't, well, he obviously injured out for that period. It just hasn't happened for him last, you know, since he has been back. He had that first chance where get a shot, yeah. And he just lost control of the ball. And then he had a great, great effort where the ball came to him, one touch, bang, just wide, really good. He thought, oh, hello. And then, you know, with the chance, and again, we weren't really going to create anything. I think it was a hoof from Wolfenden, wasn't it? Well, not a hoof, you know, ball down the line. Defender got caught underneath it. Keeper's coming out, and he's, you know, the ball's just bouncing perfectly. And he's tried to, it's a hard, well, he still should score. He's tried to sort of side foot, lift it over the keeper instead of like getting his laces on it and sort of, he just puts it wide. That's such a good chance, wasn't it? Such a good chance. And I think, you know, as I mentioned before, I think had Norwood been playing yesterday with I think we'd have won comfortably yesterday.
Well, yeah. It's funny you should mention James Norwood because we're going to parlay that into one of our favourite places, the Ipswich Town Twitter, where during the game we were having fun and games. Look, this has come up a lot. We're going to mention it. Why not? This is James Norwood's Twitter, at jnorwood_10, who has taken a picture of his MacBook Air. and he appears to be watching the game on iFollow. We cannot confirm or deny whether he has clicked home commentators or away commentators. If he has clicked home commentators, Seb, who would he be hearing?
It'll be Brenner and Mick Mills, won't it, from Radio Suffolk Feed. Club captain, Brenner club and legend, Mick Mills. All-time appearance maker Mick Mills.
7 million games.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. More than Dean Lewington. Going to have to stick this on mute. These commentators... Look, we're gonna bring it up because Norwood's Twitter is always good fun, isn't it? This has caused outrage amongst Ipswich fans. And let's be honest, Seb, the standard for causing outrage on Twitter is A, incredibly low, and the standard to cause outrage amongst Ipswich Town fans on Twitter is equally low. But go on, I'll throw you this curveball. Talk to me about this tweet then, Seb.
Well, yet again, I think it's an example of somebody not thinking before they put something onto social media. I mean, there's every chance he might not know who the summariser is. Maybe it's on quiet in the background, etc. But I do think, you know, the all-time club appearance maker deserves a little bit more respect than a striker in a side playing in the lowest league position for years, etc. I guess what he said potentially might not be incorrect. You know, everyone has their own personal opinion on commentary and whatnot, but to put it into the social media platform like that, to me, seems a little bit disrespectful, I would say.
Dave?
No, I agree. I mean, people were saying, there were people on social media saying throughout about Mick Mills, legend, about Mick Mills and, you know, he's trying to describe the formation. Well, to be fair, Mick Mills, the formation changes so much during a game. I think it's difficult for everybody to assess what the exact formation is. So there might be a bit of that in there. But yeah, he does. I think I said, you know, he doesn't help himself with that, does he really? You know,
there's just no need, is there? Let's be honest.
No, for God's sake. You know, we know, and that's his way, and he's been very active on social media ever since he joined the club, you know, with his sort of goal celebrations and stuff at the start of last season, which was fine when we were up there and firing. But now I think it's sort of starting to wear a little bit thin amongst some followers now, I think.
there's this tension often, and I have to say, I think Micah Richards is absolutely brilliant when he makes fun
fantastic.
Of Graham Souness and Roy Keane. And
brilliant.
He's very funny because he'll say things like, look, these guys are going to talk about running around and commitment and, you know, all of this stuff, but I'm going to tell you what actually gets said in a dressing room today. Sometimes, and of course, Mick Mills, obviously, you know, I don't need to qualify it. Sometimes you do get maybe a little oversimplification, and it's a lot about team shape or an individual duel and the game playing out as if everyone's going to stay in their formations. But obviously, we would all understand that as fans, we have a level of understanding that goes nowhere near either James Norwood's or certainly Mick Mills' understanding of what actually happens in a dressing room or on a pitch. But of course, the presentation of yourself on Twitter. But hey, he's free to say what he likes. But
I think, Ben, someone once said it's all about opinions.
Oh, did they? Oh, interesting.
I think someone said that once.
Interesting. Let's have a look at Twitter. And this is going to get us into our next thing because Connor and Flim Fan, Andy Oliver, there we go. We'll just say your name. Have made reference to Paul Cook, Dave, not doing a press conference yesterday. Back into Ipswich Town Twitter and the
nothing ever. Nothing ever. Yeah.
There is a potential serious side to this if the doomsday scenario or worst case scenario.
The doomsday scenario is, as we understand it, and as pretty much Matt Gill confirmed yesterday, who stood in for the post match interview, stood in for Cook's post match interview, that the management team and the staff, as we understand it, had no idea that the takeover was going to happen as it did on Wednesday. I think we read in between the lines, it seems that obviously when Paul Cook took the job, it was very much there and in the media and out there. And I think he understood that it was going to be a simple matter of investment from this consortium rather than a full takeover. So effectively, he's come in and accepted the job working for Marcus Evans.
And can I just quickly dive in, Dave? Hold your thought there. This is Paul Cook, who was doing a fantastic job at Wigan last season when a takeaway occurred. When a takeover occurred and Wigan were then immediately put into administration by their new owners. So forgive him for being a little bit insecure or anxious about a takeover.
Absolutely.
Sorry,
quite right.
Continue your thought, Dave.
There is a backstory to that. Absolutely quite right. So first of all, he didn't do the press conference on Friday. And again, I don't think perhaps you look too much into that. You know, it's been a big week and you think, OK, perhaps he's Friday. He's not doing it. He's spending more time, another hour or so with the players out there.
Or in meetings for about 8 hours if your organisation has just been taken over.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. I think more of a surprise was yesterday where, you know, so he hadn't done the press conference on Friday and you would have expected him to come out and come out yesterday. Or admittedly, perhaps you can look at him with a feeling of, well, maybe he's got a feeling of deja vu and Groundhog Day because it's another 0-0 draw. What are we going to speak about? Yes, I tried another formation. Yes, it didn't work again. I'm still trying, sort of thing. Or maybe he's finally lost his voice altogether. I don't know. But then, as Ben quite rightly said, looking at the backstory here with what happened at Wigan last season. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Look, I think majority of us all think Paul Cook's come in. It hasn't worked so far, but we think he's the right man for the job with a clearing of the decks of the squad in the summer and getting his players in. I don't know. This could go. Hopefully, the doomsday scenario isn't what we think it might be.
So, well, he's confirmed he spoke to O'Leary, didn't he? They confirmed that at the press conference on Thingy Night. So he's had contact with the new owners. But all the media articles were saying it was a takeover. It wasn't a buying. You know, the Athletic was very clear.
And he kept doing these wink, wink, nudge, nudge comments
coming, and
But Seb, if you're in his position And we've said the one attractive thing about working for Marcus Evans is that it's time. Old school. You're the manager. You get everything. Time, as Dave says. You do everything. If you are not aware that you're now going to be put into a structure with a CEO in between you and the ownership, what would you do? Would you say, I didn't sign up for this?
Yeah, if it's not the job he's been sold, you know, if Evans has described a structure that he's perfectly comfortable working under, more of a Mick kind of thing where he's responsible for everything in the club, you know, and delegates a few things to a few assistants, but in the space of 4 weeks, that's not the gig anymore. You've got to report to a CEO, and I guess potentially Evans might have sold him a longer-term plan. And I guess, you know, with the new investment coming in, these guys are going to want success pretty quickly with it being an American kind of pension fund. You know, they don't tend to mess around. They want their return on investments. Maybe he's thinking that's not the gig I've signed up for, which is very strange. I mean, I appreciate in a world of NDAs and stuff, you know, that certain things can't be said, but I can't imagine a world where Evans would, you know, not reveal something and then let it go through with a risk like this. You know, it seems a very strange situation. And also, didn't Cook turn down the Bristol City job?
The big link was Chris Hughton in summer with Mark Ashton. Yeah. And we heard all sorts of the big links for Cook was Cardiff and Sheffield Wednesday, and apparently didn't want to work for Chancery or Vincent Tan. They did want to work for Marcus Evans, so.
So I don't know. Has he had a maybe he's not keen on the new. Maybe he doesn't mind the structure, but maybe he doesn't want Ashton. I don't know. We're all speculating, aren't we? We have to wait and see how it all plays out. But you would hope, you know, this will be solved pretty quickly because all it takes is.
But if he did Olivia. Interview Seb, he would have been interviewed by Mark Ashton. If he did interview for Bristol City, which he if I'm Bristol City in summer, I'm interviewing Paul Cook. I don't know whether that happened or not. Someone may. May know more than I on this, but Dave, how do you move forward from this? Is it as simple as a statement from O'Leary or from Cook or both?
Well, I mean, they've said, you know, in O'Leary's initial interview, I think there was you know, it was mentioned and said, no, you know, Paul Cook was, we were unanimous that Paul Cook was the man for the, you know, was our both, you know, Marcus's choice and the consortium's choice as well. So, you know, you've got that. So you would think that a statement should come out fairly sharpish. It's a bit of a concern, I must admit. Yeah.
Prepare the emergency pod, I guess.
Another emergency pod. And to be fair, he doesn't, you know, Ashton, don't forget, Ashton still, as far as we understand, still hasn't been appointed. So he still really doesn't know who his new boss is yet.
Watch this space. Let's hope it all works out in a lovely, productive way where we get a CEO appointed, whoever it is, and a beautiful working relationship is then formed between Paul Cook and said CEO. Okay. Let's just do another couple of questions here. We'll do Mullet's one. Dobra and Nydam, only positives to take away from yesterday. Talk a bit about Dobra and Nydam impact yesterday. I think Dave's touched on it, so do you want to do that one, Seb?
Yeah. Like I say, Dobra was the surprise, I guess, from the lineup. And I thought he did well. He missed the chance in the first half, but he is an exciting talent. Big move, big links in the past with Brighton and stuff, moved away. So he's clearly highly rated. So I've got no issue with him being in the side because he can provide that potential spark. And really, really great to see Nydam back. I was at the Notts County preseason friendly where he got injured, horrible, and it was a horrible, horrible injury. And even the year before that, he kind of lost. He went on loan up in Scotland, didn't he, under Hurst, and didn't get any game time. So he's basically almost lost 3 years now of his career. So really great to see him back. I thought he did really well. And it wasn't Lambert almost training him up to become a left back in the preseason when he got injured. So potentially maybe he could start to
we were at that game, Seb, weren't we?
It was a horrible injury, wasn't it? So absolutely delighted for him. You know, he must have put in so much work and a real credit and a testament to him to come back. And he did well. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a couple of starts before the end of the season.
Sorry, go on, Dave, go on.
No, he was always, as I said before, he was always well thought of by Dyer. Dyer always thought he was the one, wasn't he? You know, obviously that injury at such a young age is setting back. But yeah, I think Seb's right. It says a lot about his mental strength and 42 to, you know, to get him back to where he is, you know, at least get him back to the first team. Yeah.
We've got a question from Chris, East London Tractor Boy, but I'm not going to read it because I think there's something far more useful I can do if I've got the right person. Yes, I have. So I'm sure a lot of you Ipswich fans will have seen this. So Chris obviously had some awful news back in 2012, losing a very young son. And he's going to be doing the London Marathon. So it's probably far more worthwhile me reading that out. I know we've shared it on the pod or through the Twitter before, but there is his Twitter at LUDA at Luda Chris Wade, and you can sponsor him via uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Tyler_10 years. I don't think we can do too much more than give that a plug. And obviously, I'm finding it quite difficult to talk about, as you can hear.
Good luck, Chris. Yeah, good luck, absolutely. Mate. It's coming up soon, isn't it? It's end of the month. Is it London Marathon usually?
Normally, yeah.
Towards the end of April, isn't it? I guess. And not in a normal. Oh, yeah, a normal year. I assume it is. But yeah, great. Good luck with all that. Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is normal? Right. I'm back. I'm okay. I hope we've done a good plug there. And let's have a little look at the league table. Joy of all joys, if I can press the correct button. So, after yesterday, by the way, sorry, thank you for all the questions that came in yesterday at Blue Monday, ITFC, as ever. So, ridiculously, and we've said maddeningly in many ways, because it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? Ipswich are still in with a chance of the playoffs here. Eighth position, 60 points. Four unbeaten, if my glass is incredibly half full, with 3-0 draws in there. I think Joe sarcastically tweeted, well, the defence is playing well, aren't they? But Charlton had a great win yesterday, didn't they? At Sunderland. Yeah. Lincoln continue to stink the place out. I'm sure Oxford's absolute decimation of crew didn't go unnoticed yesterday as they slide into 59 points. Pompey lost at home to Burton. New manager bounced, new manager schmounce. Blackpool, that was a big game at the top. Was it Blackpool and Lincoln? They drew, didn't they?
2-2.
Yeah,
they played each other. And obviously Sunderland, Peterborough and Hull are away with the fairies miles ahead of us. So it's just so odd, Dave, that they're still in with a chance. Low tide doesn't even begin to describe the total that sixth place might have this season
and it's
to get in the playoffs.
It's such a crap division, isn't it? I mean, it just sums it up. I mean, look at the run of form Lincoln have been on, for Christ's sake. I mean, look at it. You know, they're still there. You know, Burton, you know, Pompey, four wins on the spin under the Cowleys. And, okay, Burton, who had been, I mean, I think the guy on the Quest said last night, he said something like, unbelievable, 35 points out of 51 since Hasselbank's been there. Unbelievable stuff. Yeah, we are still there, and it's just so furious. You know, a goal against Rochdale, a goal yesterday. 64 points. You're in and rolling. Yeah. And look, the opportunity's still there, but we need to get Norwood back on the pitch as soon as possible, because he is our, a bit like Star Wars. He's like, what, Obi-Wan Kenobi? He is our only hope, isn't he? He really is, because no one else is gonna.
If you look at those, look at the goals there, the tally. Only if you look down that list, only Bristol Rovers and Northampton have scored less goals than us in the entire league.
You know, we say 3 points, but again, you know, if it's that tight, it's an extra point, isn't it? You know, three, a goal difference of three.
Fair comment.
You know, Lincoln City up, it's 15. Portsmouth, Pompey, 15. Blackpool, 17, 29. Okay, 32 and 39. Peterborough, Hull. But, you know, and even at the Oxford game, it's that tight. Six goals yesterday, that didn't do us any favours. They're now on 11, so eight better than us. So it's 4 points, really, isn't it? Blimey. You know, we're just letting this slip through our fingers, and it's so frustrating. So frustrating.
It's just there, isn't it? If we want it and we were half competent, it is there to be taken. We just can't seem to get ourselves over the line. It's crazy that it's still in touch despite us being so, so poor.
I mean, I suppose, you know, there is talk again. I think Gil was asked yesterday about the availability of Norwood and potentially, I will throw that in, Vincent Young for Tuesday, and he didn't dismiss that, did he? But yeah, frustrating, incredibly frustrating.
I always, when I'm looking at league tables, guys, and you see a situation like this, I always think, where's the gap going to be? Because you look at this, and there'll always be, before the end of the season, someone, it may be one team, it may be two or three teams, will win some games and move up. And somewhere in there, unless you get, look at the championship table in 2012-13 when Peterborough got relegated with 51 points and Cardiff won the whole league with 87 and the whole things like that, there'll always be a gap. And it's just, are you on the right side of the gap? You know, 3 or 4 point gap will, and we don't know whether it will be between fifth and sixth, which we kind of hope, because that would facilitate the low total, or whether the tide will rise together and someone will get. But at the moment, the idea of four teams getting above 75 in the playoffs seems far-fetched, doesn't it?
I mean, looking at it, Ben, this week will sort us out. I mean, perhaps we say that every week, but away game at Wimbledon, they're just knocked in five yesterday. They're on a bit of a roll. And then the game is obviously Charlton next Saturday, isn't it? You know, you go there, you don't get anything from the Wimbledon game. I'm not sure if Charlton are playing midweek, but you lose at Charlton and, okay, mathematically it won't, but momentum-wise and everything else, it will be over, won't it?
But yeah, I think if it goes to six or seven points,
this is Ipswich, but yeah, you know, don't you?
If you did get your 4 points, if you beat Wimbledon and drew at Charlton,
oh yeah, you're still going to be there. You're going to be there on the cusp of it again.
64 with five games to go, and then you're like, okay, can you get 8 points from the last games? And then you're over 70 and you're in with a chance. This is the ridiculous thing. We get to this point in the podcast and it's like, look, can we either be in the playoffs or be miles away from it?
And does history tell us, Ben? I mean, maybe we didn't have much momentum going in 14-15, but every other season we've been in the playoffs, we've actually been ripping it up and on a roll, haven't we?
History tells us that season was a ridiculous high tide because Wolves got 77 or something and didn't get in. So that was the hardest season points-wise. I know there were some whipping boys down at the bottom. That was the hardest season points-wise to get in there. So we lose a bit of momentum.
Yeah, we were going into that with not great form, were we? But certainly, you know, we remember the playoffs under Royal and certainly under Burley, we pretty much had momentum steamrolling everybody going into them, weren't we? You know, no matter what, I can't believe that would be like that this season. But, you know, the frustrating thing is it's there. It's,
But you can string a couple of results, it's yours, but we just can't do it,
because the league is so poor, it's rubbish, up and down.
I hate to rain on everyone's parade, though, but best case scenario feels like sixth place and then it's Sunderland.
You've got nothing to lose, have you? You know,
And a spirited playoff loss, I'm not saying it would be, but across two legs, spirited playoff loss going into the summer is a real big lift for everybody, isn't it? You know, rather than finish seventh and it kind of peters out, finish sixth, draw at Portman Road, lose by one goal at the stadium, like whatever. You know, we've got a bit of fight and a bit of character, a bit of show. Suddenly, you know, season tickets might shoot up. You know, people might want to come and join us. I think it would make a real, real difference. I don't think we'd win in the playoffs if we got in at all. I think we'd be a bit of cannon fodder almost, but it could be such a lift if we can give a half decent account of ourselves.
I mean, looking at those stats there, I mean, the league, you know, Blackpool, I mean, I know, you know, since the new year, they've been ripping it up, but they've only conceded 35 goals. Six of those were against us.
Yeah. None of them wanted Grayson as well, did they? There we go. Right, boys, brilliant stuff. We're coming up for the hour, so we will wrap up there. Right, we've got so much stuff to plug, it's ridiculous now, so bear with us. Chicken-ipswich.co.uk is your favourite chicken. BM20 is your discount code. You can support the podcast via the Acast support facility. Download the Acast app. Listen to us on Acast. Nice and clean user interface. I'm not just saying that because we're on their service, but really, really good. And if you strike that support button, you can donate to the pod and support our work. This podcast will always be free, but we do incur a fair few costs for equipment. And now we do it live. We need the software or the subscription to do this. So your support is greatly, greatly appreciated. You can also support over on YouTube at the Blue Monday YouTube channel via Super Chat. Again, that is absolutely free over there. Go and hit subscribe, ring the bell for notifications. If you want to see our live streams, you have to be on either YouTube or on Twitter at Blue Monday ITFC. We do put it now on Facebook as well. You can go down our Facebook, but most people tend to do Twitter or YouTube for those. So do get involved. And Dave, you'll be back with me on Tuesday night.
Old school.
After Tuesday. The Wimbledon game, which is a 6:30 kickoff. So around 8:30, we'll try and get on as soon as the final whistle goes. And lots of content this weekend and this past week. And I can barely remember all of what we've done. So there was the Rochdale pod last week. There was the live reaction to the takeover with myself and Joe and Craig. Richard's talk with James. Nick Ames from The Guardian. And now this podcast as well. So look, we know there's a lot out there and we really, really appreciate your support. There's about 3 hours of content of ours.
Certainly, you certainly can listen to. Looking at other potential exciting stuff in the offing as well.
Nice. I'm sure you'll tell me about that when we end this call. Sounds good, Dave. Seb, plug your Twitter and what you've got going on.
Just at BrownS08. That's it.
Great stuff. Dave?
At DavidDiamond3. Before you say it, I very rarely tweet anything, but that's my Twitter address.
Unbelievable. You can follow me at Benjamin Bloom. I tweet lots of stuff, but I'm quite annoying. So you'll probably follow me and then either follow and mute because you don't want to upset me, or then just unfollow. You know, I don't want to hear from this guy. What am I getting out of this? You can also subscribe to my own personal YouTube channel, which is the Benjamin Bloom Football Channel, which talks about something far and wild and far away, the Championship, which hopefully we'll be back in one day. Yeah, the fable land. I don't know if it warrants a crap this week, does it, Dave?
No, I don't think it does. No, Ben, no. I feel in an anti-crap mood this week.
Okay. What are you going to say then?
Favourite chicken?
All right, then. I should have been ready to hit the button. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for watching or listening to the Blue Monday podcast. And thanks to those of you who have kindly supported the channel via Acast or YouTube donations. You can follow us at the usual places on social media. And don't forget to subscribe so that you get our new shows first.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.